looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. These two verses of Hebrews chapter 12 are words that formulate a statement that can be likened unto a race. In a foot race, every once in a while, runners will face a phenomenon which stops them cold. It's called hitting the wall. This condition is simple to grasp. It is utter exhaustion, which brings an inability to go forward. A runner in such a condition is brought to the point of quitting, in fact, in abandoning the race altogether. Paul, I believe, is using an example such as this to set before those to whom he writes, of why we should consider the Lord Jesus, because it is possible for us in this time in which we find ourselves going through this old world to come to a place where we get so exhausted that we hit the wall spiritually and it seems like we just cannot go forward, that there is for us an inability to do even the very simplest of things that are called upon us to do for Jesus' sake. Again, I say what Paul describes here, maybe in an outward sense, is a very real situation that occurs in the spiritual life. Again, it is possible to be overwhelmed by weariness of mind and heart. And I will say very plainly, this condition is a great trouble in the spiritual life of the believer. This is something that you and I perhaps are prone to. That is why we have these words written to us in such form. We are to consider Christ lest this happen. The idea is, this is going to happen unless you consider Christ. It is a condition that finds its way into the life of those who forget the one they love. Now, we might ask the question, what causes weariness? Well, there are many causes. The greatest cause, or we might even call it the great exhauster, is what we find Paul using as the example for the words that we have here of the Lord Jesus. For consider him which bore such contradiction of sinners against himself. The great exhauster, I say to you, is the word contradiction. Well, what does that mean? Well, I say that is when we are having to bear being spoken against. Whether this is outward speaking or inward, nothing so deflates the spirit of a man as bearing a reproach, be that rightly or wrongly. To have to bear the reproach of those who with, even at times, hatred speaking against us is something that causes there to be a fainting. Sometimes that reproach is the product of our convictions. Sometimes it is that which we know because of a stand that we have to take. At other times it comes for long seasons, and seasons that are marked by trials and heartaches. There are different reasons that this comes, but it is indeed what Paul says. He wants us to consider the Lord Jesus who bore his contradictions, lest when you find yourself in those deflating hours of reproach, that you find yourself becoming faint. And unlike runners that hit the wall in a race, there is then, in these words, a remedy for our fainting of mind and heart spiritually. And again, this is shown in verse 3, and this is what I want us to consider, that there is for us the prescription for weariness. Spiritual weariness, spiritual exhaustion. There is a remedy for this. It is the consideration of the Lord Jesus. Consideration of him in our hearts. But it is not just the consideration of him apart from his suffering, but rather in the light of his suffering. Consider the things that the Lord Jesus bore. Consider the things that were laid upon him. Consider the things that he went through. Consider the reproach that was against him. And as you think on these things, and as you think about what you see in the heart of the Savior, it will prove to be that which strengthens you for those hours when the Lord would allow you to go through the seasons of hard times and weariness. So I want us to think on this evening, three small things I want to note. Things that we are admonished, things that we are encouraged to do. The first is really a repeating of the text itself in a way. We are to consider the contradiction that Christ endured. Consider the contradiction. Consider! Now really, that word that you have there, consider, is more accurately put, do a mathematical figuring. Add things up. Get an accurate sum of the picture. Take the things that are parts and put them together to understand the whole. Calculate, if you will, what the Lord Jesus had to endure. Add that up in the light of all the things that we know about him and his work, and see if that does not strengthen the heart. In fact, we might even answer the questions for ourselves. What was the suffering and reproach that Christ bore? What did it cost to bear that reproach? And what was the result? And what did it leave him to face still? These are things that perhaps our minds need to review. These are things that we need to remember. In fact, when we come to the Lord's table, oftentimes we are told to remember the Lord's death. We are to calculate what it cost him. We are to remember in a specific way the reproaches and the suffering that the Lord Jesus went through. Indeed, I say this, if we would have relief in our own souls, then we are to stack up or compare directly those things spoken against Christ with that which we find in ourselves. Our reproaches, our sufferings, our contradictions against us, the things that we are called on, are really nothing in the light of what the Lord Jesus went through. Yeah, put that up against your trials. What Christ went through, how does that compare to what you're going through? Oh, our affliction, as Paul calls it elsewhere, is but a light affliction compared to what the Lord Jesus went through. Well, I want to be more particular. I want us to think even more precisely what it is that we are to calculate in order that we might find ourselves strengthened. So I say this. First, we are to calculate the magnitude of his suffering. For consider him that endured such contradiction. I'm pointing you to the word such. What a great describer is this little word. It suggests an extreme degree to which nothing can be compared. Such contradiction. Extreme, beyond perhaps all knowing or understanding. You know, the Lord Jesus came to suffer from the very beginning. He suffered. It was prophesied that he would be one who would suffer. Isaiah 53 makes it very plain that when he was to come to rescue his people, he would be that one who would suffer the reproaches, suffer the sorrows, suffer the stripes, suffer all that was against us upon himself. Christ came to suffer, and he did so right from the very beginning. You can perhaps think about when the Lord Jesus was born. Right from the start, he was forced by the good hand of God, but still forced to suffer, having to be laid in a manger where cattle and sheep and donkeys would eat out of. He was in a place that was marked by the smell of the animals and the things that go along with that. He was born to suffer, and through his days he was a sufferer for his people? How often and how very pointedly do we read the scriptures making much of the holy and gentle Lamb of God being reviled as one who was wicked and dishonest and scheming, how he was accused by those who were the religious crowd of trying to do something to serve himself or create a following for himself. How oftentimes they told him that he was a liar, that his witness and his words were not true. And I would emphasize to you this evening that, again, the suffering that the Lord Jesus went through had nothing to do with any imperfection in himself. It was a reproach that was spoken against him because he came to save us. In fact, I want you to understand that when it says that he bore such contradiction of sinners, well, who were the sinners? It wasn't just those who were the Pharisees or the religious crowd that sought to destroy him. Really, he bore the sentence and he bore the words and the reproach that were rightly ours, and he bore them gladly. Christ was reproached in his life because he was pure. He was charged with treason and blasphemy because he spoke the truth. But he did it all for our sakes, that he might bring us home safe and sound. Calculate the magnitude of his suffering, but also while you're calculating, calculate the malice of his contradiction. Again, I point you to those words of sinners. Those that brought upon Christ his suffering were sinners. Again, this is a reference to the reproach that came by sinners, but more as he bore the reproach of sinners that he came to save. In those words, you have indeed collected together all the venom of the devil and the vileness of depravity. They were all lowered upon his back, and he endured the concerted attack. But worst of all, he was made sin for us. It was our sin that was laid upon him. It was our stripes that he bore. It was the handwriting of ordinances which were against us that he nailed to his tree. All these things were against him because he was going to do this to free us. Our malice toward God was also laid on him. Our rebellion and all the things that were a pollution of our hearts was put upon the Lord Jesus. Calculate that. And while you're thinking, calculate the motive of his enemies. He bore such contradiction of sinners against himself. Here's the hatred in all its fullness. He was hated by those to whom he brought the truth. Oh, do not think that Christ did not feel the stings of the reproach. He came to fulfill the scriptures, and the scripture says in Psalm 88, I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. You know, when the Lord Jesus was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was very plain that he was knowing the fullness of the stings of the reproach that he was having to bear. It says when he came back to the disciples and he saw them, that they looked upon him and he was as one that was sore amazed. He was feeling the weight of bearing our suffering. The totality of the sufferings of Christ was so that he might deliver you from your sufferings. This was what he came to do. Galatians 1:4 also speaks of that who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Oh, you are to think on this. You are to consider this. Consider the mountain of suffering that he had to go through so that we would not have to. That, I say, is where you're to start your thinking. Consider the contradiction that Christ endured. But also, I would say, secondly, then, consider the endurance of Christ. In this, we do not just think on the fact that Christ endured contradiction, but note how he bore that reproach. How did Christ bear this contradiction? Indeed, as we think on this, again, we are strengthened with might in the inner man. As we consider the Lord Jesus and what he did and how he did it, we find grace for our own hearts and a desire that we might be like him. One thing that we can say about how he endured, Isaiah 53 tells us that he endured silently. His example was an example of silence. That those who would call upon him to vindicate himself, speak for himself, as a lamb openeth not its mouth. So that was the way the Lord Jesus was. He was not one who sought to vindicate himself. There is not the lifting up of the voice in the streets, as Isaiah puts it. We might ask, well, how could he be possibly silent? Well, here's, I think, perhaps something that we need to understand about the Lord Jesus. It's a good lesson for us as well. The Lord Jesus left his name in the hands of the Father. He further left his success in the hands of the Father. He committed himself to his God. He did not have to defend his name. He did not have to come and prove anything to the eyes and minds of sinful men. He came to do the will of his Father, and he left the whole of the success of it with the hand of his Father, so he could remain silent. Oh, that we might learn that lesson. If we can leave our reputation in the hand of our God, we certainly can leave the results of our labors in his hands as well. Well, but you and I might say, but the blows are so heavy, sometimes we just have to speak on our own behalf. You know, there's an old saying, and I'm not sure who said it. I'm not sure where it came from. It's just one of those old proverbs that exists. The anvil breaks many hammers. Think about that. The anvil breaks many hammers. Please think about it. The anvil receives all the blows. But it's the strength of the anvil that causes the hammers to eventually be broken. There's an example of the Lord Jesus. He, as the anvil, received the strokes. Our stripes were laid upon him. But he broke the hammers of all his enemies. Oh, that we might learn as well. That's a good motto to take when you're having to even just deal with folks in your own life. To be the anvil rather than the hammer. Christ endured without any hesitation and without words to defend himself. Or as Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. There's what we were saying. He left all that had to do with himself in the hands of his Father. Oh, when we learn to walk by faith, trusting in our Father, we find that we grow not weary as much as we would. And then I say this, consider the endurance of Christ, take his example of silence, but also consider his motivation. It says there in verse 2, who for the joy set before him. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The cause for Christ enduring, that he might receive sinners such as you and me to himself. It was a joy. He was glad because the end was in his mind, not the immediate. The day of our deliverance was in his view, not the immediate situation of having to cause himself to be made to be either understood or accepted by those that were around him. That was not his reasoning. That was not his cause. We are to consider him. Consider him as he was that one who bore the contradiction. Consider also the endurance of Christ. And then I say this as well. consider the character of him who endured. Consider the character of him who endured. It is the reflection on the character of the Lord Jesus, not just as it is presented, but as it is known, that makes the heart strong. How do you know the Lord Jesus to be? Not in theory, but in experience. How do you understand the Lord Jesus to be to your heart? That makes you strong when you remember that. Now, having said that, it is not how we judge Christ to be according to our experience that proves his character. Many mistakes and failings of faith occur when we judge the Lord according to our standard. We don't prove the character of Christ, but we come to know it, and we come to love it, and we come to appreciate it. As we consider, as we remember Christ rightly from the words stepping into our lives, that is a great strengthening to our hearts. Consider his character. First, a character marked by his purity. Christ was above all reproach, though it descended on him. He was not overcome by the hardness, but rather his purity of heart became even more evident. Those that looked upon him exclaimed who he was. "Surely this was the Son of God," said the centurion as he looked on the crucified Christ. Yes, when we consider, when we set our minds upon the fact that the Lord Jesus is pure, and he's not just pure because he is pure, but he's pure for a purpose as well. He is pure for his people. He is that one who is the spotless one on our behalf. He lived a life without sin on our behalf. Consider his character. Consider that he is pure in all his ways, and consider that he will be pure still. He will be pure to his people in all his dealings and all his ways. Remember that. Consider that. Add that up. Calculate that one in your thinking. Also, his humility. None was so humble as Christ. And that was a mark of a man and a shepherd, that he was humbly the leader of his sheep. He went before his sheep. And then he was also perfect in his victory. Consider his victory. The victory that he has secured is complete. And we shall know the same victory in our struggles through him, because he reigns. Keep these things in your mind. You look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who bore these things against himself. He did not despise the shame. And we are to consider these things. We are to keep these things in our minds, because if we do so, then in those times when we are prone to be most weary and cast down in our minds, we will find the strengthening of the Lord. There's the message. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. He is the way of your peace and your help. Well, may the Lord bless the word to our hearts tonight for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray now that you'll bless the word of God. We pray that you will use it within our hearts. We pray that you will keep us close to thyself as we go through these days, allowing us to consider Christ, to calculate him into the things that we see and know through our days. Lord, we pray that you will bless now these who are thy people. We pray that you will keep them close to thyself, thwart the designs of the wicked one, keep them close to thyself in the word. And Lord, may they hear the voice of the shepherd. Lord, bless these who are thy people. We pray this very night. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.